Chelsea Green and the Green Project. Chelsea Green is on violin. Kevin Poe Jr. on bass. Nate Perry Jr. on keys. And Lorenzo Johnson on organ. And Spider Wheatley on drums. This is from the album The Green Room. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we continue with our project, our own project of looking at coverage of what is presented to us as the news, but with a lot of stuff missing from it. That doesn't help us understand the true significance of an event or an issue or a news item. And so we are pooling our intellectual resources and discussing major stories in the news, but with a particular, I would say, with a particular bent. And we're looking for ways in which we were shortchanged or deliberately manipulated to think a particular way when we should be getting information about the behind the scenes issues that eventually will turn out to be the news. So we're going to start with our program today with that in mind. And that's going to be our week, actually, because I want us to develop and to feel comfortable with the idea of being analysts. And by that, I don't mean analysts in the same way that the news people mean analysts. I mean that we disassemble things and look at the cues that we're getting nonetheless that should allow us or should encourage us to look deeper at issues and to find other possible meanings to the news that we are given or presented. So 888-874-4888, and we're going to start off with your observations about the testimony given by Michael Cohen. It's been given to us. I mean, we are told how significant it is, his testimony and this the whole package was so supposed to be so symbolic. And I'm wondering, why is that? Why is it that we're getting those hints and instructions that suddenly we're supposed to regard this as a monumental development? And yet, when you look more closely at it, you wonder how, who made a decision that this was monumental. I'm not at all suggesting that it's insignificant, but when we look, the reason you're having a big inquiry like this, an official inquiry that clearly is linked to possible legal action against the president, looking at major investigation that could cost him the presidency and so forth. We're looking for a particular level of performance here. I don't believe that we got it. If this, I mean, it seemed like a whole bunch of people, none of them particularly brilliant in how this whole thing went, asked basic questions and got basic answers. And now they're trying to massage this. And this is the media is now doing the work of trying to massage this into something tremendously significant, when in fact the news should be that something tremendously significant occurred. I don't know whether you think something tremendous had occurred at the hearing. I don't think so. I think it was quite ordinary. And in fact, disappointingly ordinary, because in that room we had all these people with so much alleged qualifications and experience and expertise. They're lawyers, most of them. And if this is what we get from a star chamber hearing, well, you could see why we're in trouble as a nation. This should have been a slam dunk. We should have been able to get from this hearing the answers that we are looking for based on the questions that we are asking. We didn't get the feeling that this was a slam dunk hearing. At least that's my view. And this is disappointing, because really what you're looking for is evidence that the country is in good hands, that the processes that are there to safeguard democracy and whatnot, that they're working, that we have the right people in the right job, and therefore we don't have to worry too much. We still will have to worry, of course, but not too much, because they're doing their job, they're doing the right thing, and they're getting the results that are needed for this country to continue operating on an even keel. This is not happening. So we started this discussion yesterday, and that's the first piece I'd like to finish off today. What are your thoughts? 888-874-4888. And I'm asking you to respond to the question, because this is the other part of it. We, as consumers of information and as citizens of this country and as individuals allegedly concerned about where our country is going, there is an inherent belief that we should just observe. If we do that much, we are limited to observing without coming to any conclusions about anything. The media, they all fight for their bit of their area of influence. You know, should we believe the New York Times more readily than the Washington Post or the Daily News or, you know, any other media source? And they too have conflicting points of view, because they have conflicts. They're compromised in many cases in the way, or biased in the way that they report the news. This is a significant development. And yet there is this feeling that they didn't hit the mark. They didn't hit the mark with this at all. 888-874-4888. I'm interested in your thoughts about it, because it is a major news development, and we're not hearing what people are thinking. We given, you know, the basic results, which are the news people reporting from their particular points of view. But even so, we don't have a uniform approach that says, that makes us feel comfortable with media reports, because they all have a vested interest in protecting, if you will, the administration or Cohen or a congressperson. We don't know. All we want is news that we can say is unbiased, independent, but we're not getting it. And so we are deprived of the kind of information that we need, and therefore the greater burden is on us to put the pieces together. So in as much as we need to do that, let's do it. The second topic I'd like to talk about is Donald Trump fizzling in Hanoi. The president met with Kim Jong-un, as you know, in Hanoi to work out a number of sticky issues. But for some reason, we still don't know what the particulars are, the talks ended quite abruptly. And we have no real explanation as to what was supposed to happen, what specifically was supposed to be discussed, and why did it end so abruptly? These were highly touted peace talks, and they concerned, they were supposed to concern nuclear issues and other trade issues. And Kim Jong-un made a very strong attempt to be there, and he was. He went by train. And all of a sudden, everything fell apart. And the only news that we have is that they fell apart. That's it. And we didn't have an analysis from the media as to why. Why did these talks fall apart? What was the sticking point that neither party could get over? This is big news. This is earth-shattering news, as a matter of fact. And on the one hand, if this were a part of the, the getting to know you kind of thing, the beginning stages of talking to each other and so forth, that's no big deal. But we know that there has been, especially on the side of Donald Trump, there has been a kind of sharp edge, and that tone that says, I am the leader of the world, the leader of the world, and please understand, you're not my equal. I'm bigger, badder, and better than you. So I don't know what happened there. Don't you think it's important for us to understand? So, in as much as we don't have definitive information about why these talks failed so abruptly, then I think we can theorize as to what might have happened that caused these talks to collapse. I also want to talk about this new job that Ivanka Trump has apparently created for herself. It doesn't seem to have a title, but she's created a position that will have her operate now on a global level. And seeing to projects in a foundational way, seeing to projects to elevate women all over the world. Now, all that talk, that means nothing to me. I'm looking for the ramifications and the implications here. Number one, what exactly is this job? Is this a job for the ad administration? Is this an administration job? Is this a new job and a new set of responsibilities? Who okayed it? Is she getting paid on this job? I would think that that's the case. And does this mean that she now divides her time as senior advisor to the president to doing this job? Now, this job will have her globetrotting and making all kinds of arrangements all over the world. But what ticked it off for me was the mention of a foundation. There's going to be a foundation that will be in the mix coordinating this new project. So it seems to me we have to ask a question here. Is Ivanka Trump going to be doing private work under a foundation title along with her administrative title as senior advisor to the President of the United States? Is there going to be a conflict of interest here? We know how foundations and presidents, the minute you mention the two things together, you know there's a possibility for major crime. So, and major questions arise. She's starting off, and she hopes to start off, I should say, with a $50 million project. And where would that money come from? It will come from donors. You see how already we're in really hot water. We see this, we saw this with the Clintons, we talked about it all the time. Foundations have, quote, donors, unquote. And it will be no surprise that the donors to this project will want to curry favor with the Trump administration. While you have the daughter in charge of this project, I'm not so sure that it passes muster in terms of potential conflict of interest as it pertains to the laws and rules of Congress for what an administration official is allowed to do, or what an administration itself is allowed to do. Is an administration allowed to start a foundation and solicit donations in order to accomplish its goals and objectives? Who will be the watchdog here? And is it the case that that Ivanka Trump is doing such a great job as senior advisor that she would have the time and energy and expertise to simultaneously conduct business as an independent or quasi-independent entity related to the White House? See how it works? This is the question. Ephraim Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice. Hope you're feeling well
Hello.
today.
Thank you. Same here for you. Now, what is of interest to you? What are you talking about today?
Well, it's more of an observation about the meeting Donald Trump had with Mr. Kim in Vietnam. So I wonder, are we still living in the 1970s, or are we living in this great age of technology in 2019 here? Wouldn't it be just as easy, since he loves to do tweeting and all that stuff, to just get on Skype and talk to Kim, and they could have saved everybody all this trouble? I heard on Fox News that it took Kim 3 days to get to Vietnam by train. It was such a big
Yes.
bother for him. But,
It was a big
why
bother,
not?
but let's talk about, for you, what was the significance of not just the meeting, but particularly the fallout? Why is it concerning you?
Well, it makes you wonder, like, was something said, or was Trump kind of insulting her some way? Or was something misunderstood that suddenly it ended so quickly before anything was really discussed? It seems like much ado over nothing, and then all of this trouble of him getting there, and then nothing happened. So it makes you wonder if there was some
Yes,
bad
well, that's
feelings
what we're talking
exchanged.
about. It's making us wonder. But what are you wondering?
It makes me wonder if there was some bad feelings exchanged, since we don't really have any facts right now. It just makes me wonder that. So how can I really, comment on it if I don't really know if anything was exchanged? You know how Trump is. He's not going to come out and tell us the truth right away. So he sort of hedges around things, saying, "Oh, a lot of good things were said, and we're going to get back on this and that," but after all this trouble of meeting and this big buildup, Was it just a smoke screen for something else that he didn't want to be around here for? I don't, you know, that makes you wonder about a lot of different things. So that's where my concern lies. Hopefully he didn't start get Kim upset about something, and now he's going to start with the missiles again over Japan or whatever.
Well, I'm going to give you that. I mean, you gave us a general feeling of what it is, but certainly I think you might have an idea, a more specific idea of what you would be looking at. Let's say we don't have any information, but if you were to approach this subject, what would be of interest to you?
You know, I really didn't even know what the whole meeting was about. They were just going to further continue their friendship. I thought that it was just like a goodwill kind of thing that he was going to be having.
Nobody travels on a train for 3 days on a goodwill tour. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, maybe he was in the mood for a nice train ride. I don't know, but...
I doubt it.
Well,
I mean,
well,
it was a great train and all. It was bulletproof.
Maybe you can help me understand better what was it supposed to accomplish, this meeting.
We don't know. But we do know how this president has functioned, especially with regard to foreign policy. We know that he has a very uneven record, because he is very seldom prepared. This is the problem. This is not about having a nice little meeting in a nice little corner of Hanoi. You're talking about people who should come to a meeting prepared. This is indicating, again, the president is not prepared to function at that level. That's what we ought to get out of this. The president is not prepared to function at this level. He thinks of it as one of those casual things. This is not the way the world functions. And people are appalled by the lack of preparedness this administration routinely and continually demonstrates to issues that are very, very significant and important. You don't just go someplace and you sit down and you roll up your sleeves and you try to be casual. That's not the way the world functions. And certainly it is not the way that Kim Jong-un functions or anybody from the Asian world. They take these things so seriously. But here we have a president probably just sauntering into a meeting. He doesn't read, so he has no preparation when he sits down at that table. That's the president we have. So that is my analysis of it. The president was not prepared to engage in a discussion or in a meeting at the level that would be expected of a head of state. And therefore, he attempted more than likely to take the conversation here and take it there. And, it was too fluid. You have to have an agenda. It has to be specific. And you ought to know what it is you're meeting for. But it was never said. It was loosely described as, they're having talks. Okay. Well, what are you talking about? Well, the talks will include nuclear treaties and all that is great. But what are you talking about? And you don't show up there with your customary lackadaisical attitude toward very serious talks, and you are unprepared. That's the bottom line. Thanks a lot for calling in. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hello, Yatrice. How are you doing?
Okay, Ed, how are you?
I'm still here. Referring to 45. Basically, what I feel, because, I have a little pre-knowledge because I was in Korea for 6 months when I was in the service. After decommission of certain weapon systems, my job function, the service became redundant. So since I had a high security clearance, they sort of like placed me anywhere and everywhere till my tour of duty was over. So for the 6 months towards the end of my tour of duty, I was in Korea. I was on the 38th parallel. And a lot of people don't know what this country did to Korea, because the war really common vision of the war was through MASH. This country bombed Korea damn near back into the Stone Age.
Hold a second. I just want to remind people, MASH was the television series loosely based on a medical unit smack dab in the middle of all the fighting in Korea.
Yes, yes. And it was a poor portrayal, because really, this, like I said, they dropped enough ordnance on this country to where there wasn't a two-story building in the whole country. And the people were reduced to eating dogs. They were reduced to eating each other. I mean, this was a bloody, terrible conflict. And the North Koreans even when I was there, they still had a hatred for Americans because of what happened to their country and how brutally they were treated. And I believe that Kim Jong-il, if he's anything like his grandfather was the one that really rallied the country and brought it back from the brink of utter destruction. The ROK Army is one of the most proficient fighting forces in the world. At least when I was over there, we knew that they were tough customers. And anything about the Korean mentality as far as the United States is concerned, I really think that that Kim Jong-un was playing him. And now Kim Jong-un is seeing that he's under fire. You got Manafort, you got all these investigations and all of these innuendos coming up. And I think he just cut him off. He sees no use for him anymore. It was fun to mess around with him when he was possibly to change his image on the world court. But now he's cutting bait, saying, listen, get out. I'm done with you. Because the bottom line is the whole Pacific Rim, China, Japan, India, Pakistan, all that area, they're going to be the new world power. China's already trying to establish a new form of default currency to take out the dollar. And in the next 10 or 20 years, Korea is going to have to unify. The president of South Korea has been doing work for years before even Trump came on the scene, trying to unify the two Koreas. And once they're unified, the Asian Tigers want to take over this world. So, and he's not a dummy. He's a dictator. There's a certain mentality in that country based on the strife that happened during the Korean conflict. But, they're looking at the future, and they're looking at taking over the economic structures of the world. And Trump is just a clown.
What should Americans observe about this? This is not the first time that Trump has failed to close a major deal. Whatever the deal was, he can't close a deal.
Listen, this man is a fool. This man is a fool. I mean, to be totally honest, I have friends overseas, and they said this man is a fool. He's considered to be a joke. And unless, the way the world is moving, America's going to get left out. And he's just increasing the pace of how countries are looking at. I mean, like I said, I've got friends overseas, I've got friends in Europe, and they call me up from time to time and tell me, man, this guy's a joke. They're not even thinking about him as him being a leader. It reflects upon the mentality of America.
Now, as you observe the coverage on television, newspapers, wherever you get your information, did you get even the slightest hint that questions might have been raised about, by the news outlets themselves, because they don't have information as to what went on in the room? But did they provide even a context paragraph to remind us Trump has gone on these big time trips and is a lot of hoopla and a lot of PR and whatnot. But when it comes time to sit across the table and cut a deal that works for the United States and for both parties, he's not been able to do it.
We don't have a media. We don't have a news. We have entertainment, varying forms, varying levels of entertainment that quote unquote try to trope themselves off as news. This is not news. There's been no concise questions asked. There was no concise questions asked after the first meeting. I mean, come on, this guy is, this is a, North Korea is a rising nuclear power that has detonated nuclear weapons above ground in their country. And you're trying to stop, or you're trying to reach some type of armistice or some type of deal. The man has no political, he has no diplomatic savoir. He has no political background. He's a rube. And he's in position in this country, I believe, to increase the coffers of the 1%. And the rest of the world is looking at America as being lost in the sauce because things are moving. China's got the golden road. They're building ports in countries. They're going into Africa. They're taking over lands. They're taking over farmlands. They're building facilities and giving them to these African leaders, good, bad, or indifferent, and they're using them. That's where the wealth of the world is, in the continent. They're moving across the globe, and America's still playing around in Venezuela and South America, trying to hold down what little bit they can. But you've got a clown. You've got a clown who has. It wouldn't even be bad if he was a real deal maker. But he's not even a real deal maker. I mean, come on. The man has a failed business acumen. He bankrupted a casino. Not once, but twice. And a casino, the house wins. Come on. I mean, he's a joke. And it's just sad because America really needs somebody who can lead this country into a progressive future.
And there you had an exquisite opportunity, because there's been this history of hostility between the two countries. Mm-hmm. A savvy president may not have walked away with everything that he wanted, but you know would at least have had evidence that he worked hard to broker something that indicates progress between the two countries. But I conjecture it, he went in there with the idea that he's talking to a little boy and dictating what will happen and what he will consider a successful meeting. This is not the way the world works. You don't go in there with that. And even if you do go in there with that, you should quickly be able to recalibrate your attitude and understand that the world works very differently from the way you expect it to work and the way you want it to work. So I thought it was interesting that these super hyped talks just collapsed, and there has been no real critique, not even a word about what possibly could have happened there. And yet this was so important to understand.
Well, we don't have real media. We don't have real reporters. I mean, other than yourself and a few others, Bernard White is still doing his thing on the West Coast. But other than that, I mean, you really don't hear an analysis of the news. Nobody really knows how to think. Nobody knows how to critically analyze the situation. I mean, the man, yes, we know the man is a clod. Yes, we know the man is a criminal. He has criminal background. He has criminal intentions, I believe. But what's he doing? How is he doing it? What is he representing? He's in a position of politics, and people don't understand what politics is. Politics is to service the people. Politics is about deals, about negotiation. It's about being able to make a benefit of your detriments and increase your assets. And this guy can't do any of that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to me, to be honest with you, I think he looked for this as a distraction as to what's going on in the Senate right now.
Yeah, well, he needed to be out of the country while this
exactly.
these hearings were going on. So He got his way to get out of the country, but we are looking at also the failure of the media to really get behind what's going on here. And that is why we have to push ourselves. We may not have all of the answers, but we have at least some, and we can put our heads together and figure out what is going on here with this president who imperils, this is the other thing, he's not doing this, he thinks he's doing this as, you know, a solo act, but the whole country is on the line when he undertakes a mission like this.
Exactly. He's creating a framework. He's setting a precedent that whoever comes behind him is going to have to deal with. It's not good.
Thank you very much, Ed, for your wonderful analysis today. Thank you so much. Jose from Rosedale, you're on the air. Which subject are you talking about?
Good afternoon, my professor. How are you doing?
Okay, professor. How are you doing?
Not bad. I was just here listening to, I tuned in late, but most of what was being said, I kind of covered a lot of what I was going to say. But I really think this trip of the president and his men, I believe it was really an exercise in futility. And I don't think that he and Pompeo and all these fellows is folks here really believe that they was going to be getting any kind of the kind of concession that they wanted from the North Vietnamese leadership. There is no way on God's earth that man in his right mind would sign some kind of agreement giving up all of his defensive weapons because Trump and his group of people says so. And they knew nothing was going to be coming of it. And I think they welcomed the thought of being out of the country for a little while. But as was said before, the world is changing. And a lot of our people believe that the folks who run this country, really, they really believe that the world is going to remain the same world that they are accustomed to. I'd rather just run all over people's country and rob and plunder and do whatever they want to do. And they're not paying attention. And I don't think there's no way that the Chinese will sit back and allow the United States to bomb and invade North Korea like they did in times past. And so we're looking at a serious situation that's cropping up in the world. And I sincerely hope that our people again won't be cannon fodder in this military machine, because our people have a tendency to have our people being on the battlefield, losing our lives, and some they're going there to kill or be killed, and some coming back dismembered and all kind of things happening to us, while they're really thinking. Some of our people still think that they're going overseas to fight to restore democracy and all that kind of foolishness. And so they buy into this nonsense, and I hope we won't be caught up in this thing, because there's going to be fighting going on someplace, because we're looking right now at Venezuela, and I've not heard anyone from the Democratic Party or from the Republican Party, or anybody. There's no voice of reason there to stand up and say, no, let's do this thing a different way. And so we're looking at a system. It's a system that the system is something that is there to just control and dominate the world. And it doesn't matter which party is in power. It's the same system that they're working from. And so I'm very much afraid of that. But as I say again, back to North Korea, this man, there is no way he was going to sign on to any kind of agreement giving up his weapons and allow a Gaddafi to be played out in his country. I don't think so.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks, Jose, for your call. Gwen from New York. Gwen, you're on the air.
How are you?
Okay. I hope you're well.
So I have a little bit of a different take on all of this, so I hope that you'll indulge me. First of all, I do think that Trump needed to create a distraction yesterday with these hearings. So I think that was why the date of the trip was scheduled the same day of the hearings. I also think that they purposely have not resolved the situation because they're saving that for when it is time for him to win the election he thinks he's going to win. So I believe that there was really no intent to solve anything yesterday or to move the thing along. It was just to create some distraction, which it has. I mean, look, this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about the hearings. We're talking about this unproductive trip.
You think that Kim Jong-un will travel by train for 3 days?
Yes,
To help Trump create a distraction?
Yes. Yes, I absolutely think that, first of all, these two young boys, these little boys, like each other. I actually think they like each other. I think they're very similar in a lot of ways. And I absolutely think that Kim would do this because there's no downside to it for him. He still looks like he's coming to the table to negotiate. He looks like he's trying. And it doesn't make him look bad. I think it even with his own people makes him look better. So I don't think there was a downside for this. And I do think that some of the things the fellow before me was saying, and I wanted to elaborate on them. Of course, I can't remember what he said, but there were some points that he made that I didn't agree with. But I do think that this is going to be milked for all it's worth. And you know, you've had some very high up people say that if Trump is able to bring this in, you know, that he will deserve the Nobel Peace Prize. And one other thing I wanted to say, Yatrice, is that for years we've been trying to get these people to the table. And no grown-up has been able to do it. No grown-up with all their degrees from college, with all of their fancy negotiating skills, no one was able to bring this guy out and get him into the public and to have a conversation. And he's doing it now. Now, he's not giving us what we want. He might not even give us what we want. But he's out there, and Trump is the one that lured him out there. And I think
want? You see, we still don't know what.
Oh, okay. What I want to say about Trump, what we want, it doesn't matter what you want or what I want. It's what Trump wants. And what Trump wants, and if you listen to that man talk yesterday at those hearings, he let you know that Trump sees all of this as a gigantic cash cow to the Trump label. Now, when Trump went over to North Korea, all he kept talking about was those wonderful beaches and how much money could be made there and how many resorts they could put up. And Trump, I really believe, thinks, and you know what? I actually think he might just get away with it. I think that he sees this as an open, wide field for development that he's going to have a big part in. And if not directly, indirectly, he stands to make billions of dollars doing it, and he also will come out with being the hero of the world because he finally got this nation to come in. So I think that Trump sees it not about you. He's not negotiating for you. He doesn't give a rat's ass about you. He gives a rat's ass only about himself. That is why he's the president, and he wants to be the president of the world, and he needs dictators like this guy with him because there's no trouble with the dictator. If you see who he gravitates most to, it's dictators, and that's because they think alike. He considers himself a dictator, if not a total one now, somewhere down the line. But I'm telling you, this thing's going to be wrapped up, and it's going to be whatever the most positive outcome of this thing will come much, much closer to the election. And also, you know, complain about having no news about yesterday. We have no news because he told all the news people they couldn't come in. They couldn't cover the thing. The one thing I did hear this morning that was stunning was that little pissant Jared Kushner saying to Kim or saying about
Gwen,
him.
Gwen.
Sorry.
You're going to have to watch your language.
Okay. I didn't know that was illegal. But
illegal.
You're right. Good grammar.
And we have
right.
to maintain a level of our
right,
conversation.
Right.
And,
but
you know,
I find this kind of, you know, rhetoric just stunning. To hear that Jared Kushner telling Kim that he is he's a spoiled brat, and he's only in office because of nepotism. And I'm like, what? Did you look in the mirror this morning? I mean, how do you think you got your so-called job? It was stunning to hear this. And so, you know, here we are. And I did listen to those hearings yesterday. And I actually thought he did bring a lot to the table. I thought what was unbelievable was the lack of any Republican calling out any of the deeds that Trump participated in. You know, just calling them out, just questioning them. The only agenda the Republicans had was to keep calling this guy a liar. But the truth of the matter was, I listened to him all day. I thought he did a great job. I mean, I said to my mother, it's interesting. They said, you know, I know that he wasn't acting as a lawyer, but he was very good at defending himself. He didn't lose his temper. The idea was to degrade him as much as possible and make him crack, but he didn't. And I thought there was some valuable information that came out of this, and that when he talked about this, he said the way Trump described the presidency before he went in was it was going to be the greatest marketing infomercial of all time, because Trump didn't even think he was going to win. But I mean, I'm still stunned that, you know, they're writing out checks to Stormy Daniels while Trump's in office. And nobody had a problem with that yesterday. Everybody was, you know, that's okay. And I would agree with you, too, that the hearings really lacked from the point of view of gathering information. I felt they really were lacking, that very few congresspeople asked questions of this man. Ocasio-Cortez did. She had, I think, 5 questions, which may end up in a brand new investigation. So, and that is the purpose of the hearing, is to gather information. It wasn't to call him, you know, a rat or a liar or anything else, if they were really interested in this.
The purpose of the hearing was to get at the root of all the things that they said prior to the hearing that they suspected were wrong, and to get confirmation of that. They fell far short. Now, these are supposed to be lawyers for the most part.
Right.
They're lawyers. And the questions were vapid. They were, you know, I could have just walked off the street and asked a lot better questions than that. And that's
right.
What
I mean,
they call a hearing? Get out of here.
Right. I mean, and interestingly enough, he actually volunteered a lot of information. Like, I was getting more from just him saying what he wanted to say, but nobody seemed to pick up on the things that he was saying.
They did not want to. He was
No, I know they didn't want to.
As a witness, he was indicating to them, the way he answered questions, that he was willing to tell much more. He was willing to go a deeper. He was willing to expose this president because he has first-hand information about it. And they just sat there like a bunch of dodos and didn't come up with questions based on the clues. And he couldn't have given them any more clues that he was very open to talking.
I know. You know, Utrecht, he sounded, I'm not kidding you, I was so disappointed. He sounded like the most intelligent one in the House yesterday. I mean, I got to say, even Cummings, his closing comments were all over the place, not focused. It wasn't a good, like, you know, something to pull it together at the end. And I wasn't really even sure why he made those comments. But most of the people that asked questions yesterday didn't sound very articulate or very intelligent. And it just is, like, very disappointing that this is who you get. This is what millions and millions of dollars buys. And so that part I was disappointed in, but I was not disappointed in his performance. I think he gave a lot. He had a lot more to give, and I think I am okay with this guy. He came out. It took a lot of courage, I think, to come out and admit all that garbage in public. I think that took a lot of courage.
Well,
I think he did the right thing.
Courage. He knows what he's facing.
He does know what he's facing.
A long,
but there's still people.
Term is what he's facing. If the opposition chooses to go that route. So he basically is sending the signal, I'm not here to fight you. I'm here to help you. And that would count in his favor. But it was just so disappointing that
right.
the caliber right. of intellect that we had on the other side of the room.
It's stunning.
Unbelievable.
And disappointing.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Thanks, Gwen. Thanks so much. Thanks for your contribution. Well, we don't have very much more time, but we will continue the discussion because this is very, very important. And I hope you're catching on to what makes this program and this station very different. Now, I'm sure you've watched from one source or another, the coverage, as they call it, of the congressional hearing or the coverage of Trump's trip to Vietnam, to Hanoi, sorry, to engage with Kim Jong-un over what we don't know. And this is where we need to go. Ask these questions all the time. Don't go first what they're saying or what they're reporting as news. As you can see how inadequate it is, because basic questions that you are asking here have not yet seen the light of day in news media. And they control the information as a whole on who and what and matters in this country and in any country. But they're not asking the questions. They're not providing even the slightest hint of answers. So we'll do the work ourselves. And I think you guys are the best. All it takes is that you get a quiet moment and you know you watch the news or you read the news or you hear the news, whatever, and you take a quiet moment to assemble for yourself the information so it makes sense to you. And there isn't a single opinion that we heard today that we can say we don't agree with. There's a single one. And regular people putting together for ourselves what makes sense to us because it's logical. The world we're living in is not logical, and we have to always remember that when it comes to making these kinds of decisions, we're on our own. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because it means we have full control, full responsibility for putting things together that make sense from our unique perspective. So I thank you so much for that. Nobody took up the subject of Ivanka Trump's new job. I wonder how do people land in these wonderful jobs? And her husband seeking a loan for his development. Nothing much, just a couple of billion. A federal loan, and probably he'll get it. So, you see, you don't have to, nobody has to tell you anything. After a while, it begins to register automatically. This is not right. This is not right. We need to question this. But thank you so much for calling in today and tuning in. And please pass the word about the program because you're on it. And we'll see each other tomorrow. Thanks a lot for listening and contributing today.